We'll get into 1 Samuel 1 and 2 for today. And we're going to break away from 2 Peter, of course, today. We just finished the second chapter of 2 Peter. There's one that remains. And today, specifically, on a day we commemorate as Mother's Day, that we'll look at the heart of a godly mother in terms of Hannah, who certainly is a great example of that, and whose name means grace. And you'll see the grace that's demonstrated in and throughout this historical account of surrender, submission, and lordship. Surrender, submission, and lordship. Now, we're not going to be able to go through two chapters in a way which we have in 2 Peter, but I'll be pausing at certain parts of the text and taking some kind of Selah moments for you to pause and reflect, because I think it's important we do that. As I read through the text and meditated on it myself, to just put yourself in that time period of both Hannah, Elkanah, her husband, Eli the priest, etc., people that will kind of just talk about, mention, and then just pause and reflect on hopefully what the Holy Spirit can speak to you through the Holy Scriptures. So let us pray. Father, we thank you. Once again, we've gathered here, and it sometimes is very surreal that another Sunday has come today on the calendar. Lord, we're moving so quickly through the year of 2024, and we do not know if tomorrow is guaranteed or if 2025 is guaranteed, but we know that today, you tell us to have our thoughts on you. So as we open up this text today and we break the bread of your word, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the one that guides us into all truth. We thank you for a more sure word of prophecy, your scriptures. Feed your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me first start off, as I already did, is wishing all mothers, both biological, spiritual, future mothers, and even if you wanted to call this Women's Day, if we really go that far. Mothers and women in general, as we know, are precious in the sight of God. And today, as I already mentioned, we'll look at what perhaps is the best, or one of the best, at least, examples of a mother in the Old Testament and the entirety of the Bible, Hannah, which I already alluded to. So as we pause from 2 Peter, if you have a Bible, or if you just want to follow along with us, you can go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. It says, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah. Of course, this is the husband of Hannah, and his name actually means God has possessed or God has created. It's the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, which means grace, and the name of the other was Penina, which means jewel, believe it or not. And Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. Let me just pause there first. Let me just say to you, having two wives, Elkanah was a good man, but having two wives was never the will of God. And what you will see in Scripture is the consistent problems and turmoil that comes from polygamy, or having more than one wife. Solomon, David, Abraham, Isaac, the list goes on as to the lessons that we should learn in the Old Testament about the God-ordained covenant of marriage between one man and one woman. Ephesians 5 clearly explains marriage to be a reflection of Christ and the church. We are to be married to one wife or husband. So with that in mind, you have these two wives. One has children, one does not, that being Hannah. It says verse 3, and this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. So Elkanah would go up, he would offer his bullocks, his wheat, his wine, whatever he would offer yearly. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Penina his wife and to all her sons and daughters portions. And we don't know how many children she had, but she had multiple.
Verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Very difficult situation to be in that Old Testament time. Why? Children were very, very highly valued. In fact, you were considered a rich man or a rich woman if you had many children. How different it is today. How different it is today to now that we look at children as a burden, not a blessing. And that, my friends, is not the will of God. And that, my brothers and sisters, is not the Word of God. The Word of God said, blessed is the man who has a quiver full of them, like arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior. Children are made in the image of God. Children are the image bearers of Christ. And so, here in the Old Testament, as they ought to be, a woman who did not have her womb opened, at least at the time, was a very, very difficult thing to bear. Now listen to this. Verse 6, and her adversary, this is Peninnah, by the way, the other wife with lots of children, and her adversary also provoked her. That's a picture of Satan. That's, we were looking on Wednesday night, some of the attributes of Satan, and one of the devices of Satan is to provoke you. Now think about this. You are a woman of God in Hannah. You desire so badly to bear children. God has shut her womb. You have another wife of Elkanah that you're living with that has multiple children. And by the way, not only does she have multiple children, what you desire, she's provoking you, taunting you because you have none. Think about being in that situation. Well, how does Hannah, the mother who has a godly heart, respond or react? It says verse 7, and as he did so year by year, when he went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept, that's Hannah, and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why eatest thou not? Why aren't you eating? And why is your heart grieved? Now this is going to be one of these Salem moments. Listen to what Elkanah says here. And there's going to be two men that you'll read about in this text as we give kind of a bird's eye view. The first is Elkanah, the husband of Hannah. The second is Eli, the priest. And my nicknames for them in this text, at least, is going to be Larry and Moe, or Tweedledee and Tweedledum. And here's why you'll see. Listen to the response. Listen to the response of Elkanah. Now, this would be a typical response of something I would say. If I was to be very candid with you, it's something I would say, or maybe Barry would say, or somebody who's a man would say. Now listen to this. Is this not classic man response? Am I not better than 10 sons? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? Now listen, there's silence here. There's no scripture recording what was said. And here's, as I thought about this, there can only be a couple reasons why the silence is deafening. The fact that scripture is silent means one of two things. Either Hannah was silent in obedience to the Lord, or her reaction had to be censored because of the perhaps inappropriate content. It had to be one of those two, nothing in between. I mean, put yourself in this situation. Put yourself, this woman is in despair. This woman is being provoked. And here comes Elkanah. What's the matter with you, babe? Aren't I better than 10 sons? Arrogant, prideful, selfish, and flat out stupid. Thoughtless. Thoughtless. And here's the thing. We don't mean to be that way. We don't mean... I want you to understand something today. If you're a mother, if you're a woman, I want you to understand this. We do not mean to harm you. You have to understand we are not wired like you in thought, body, or deed. Aren't you happy about that? You look around culture today and you see all these men pretending to be women in body and stealing their athletic achievements. Because it's not true, it's a lie. Aren't you happy that as men we are not like you, but at the same time you must understand that. And men just plain out sometimes just don't think. You certainly don't think like you. Why do you think in the scriptures? In Ephesians 5, I already mentioned, Paul says, Dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Learn her. Study her. I have found I have greater success in marriage the quieter I am. The more I listen. But I also have to be intentional about being thoughtful because I don't think the way my wife does. Elkanah says something that is just wrong. It's just wrong. But listen to this. Verse 9, as it continues, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten, and Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. Verse 10 of 1 Samuel 1, and she was in bitterness of soul. So what does she do? She prays. Now, what does she pray? Think about this. This is similar to Jesus praying in the garden and he's sweating drops of blood. She can't get words out. She's in such despair over her situation, she can't get words out. It says, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And verse 11 says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, that's a male, by the way, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She just made a Nazarite vow, and a vow in general is a serious thing because Deuteronomy 23, 21 through 23 says, if you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it. It is for the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. Very serious thing to make a vow like that unto the Lord. But she did. As she can't even get words out in her anguish. Verse 12, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord, here comes Mo, that Eli marked or watched her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, here comes the pastor, here comes the spiritual leader of the day. Eli thought she had been drunken. Again, typical response of a man. Not taking time, not being patient, not analyzing the situation. Look at this drunkard over here. And what does he say? And Eli said unto her, how long will you be drunken? Put away that wine from thee. Now, here's what amazes me about this text. Ladies, women, wives, future wives, mothers. Here's what absolutely amazes me about this text. Is that this woman of God, Hannah, after all this pain and suffering, Penina provoking her, Eli totally missing it as the spiritual leader, totally being insensitive and missing the despair. Listen to this. In all of that, there's no insults to either Elkanah or Eli. There's no nagging. There's no taking shots at him. There's no passive-aggressive behavior. There's no disrespect toward either man. Can you say the same about yourself, ladies? Same deafening silence as when I read that text. You see? If you want to push your husband away, do those things. As I mentioned, we are wired differently. Do you know a big practice in marriage is forgiveness? Practice these words, I am sorry. Please forgive me. And mean them when you say them. Marriage was never intended for you to be happy. Remember that happy song, Bobby McFerrin? Oh, be happy. Did you feel that way this morning? Maybe not. Do you feel that way in marriage all the time? Maybe not. It was intended to make you holy. Marriage is an institution that reflects Christ and the church. Holiness, not happiness. Now, there can be happiness. There can be great joy in marriage. But understand, God's divine institution is to reflect Christ in the church. And so, as the text moves on, she says in verse 16, count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial or a daughter of mischief, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken hitherto. Now Eli starts to get it. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Now listen, she doesn't have a child yet. She's not pregnant. She's operating by faith here. She's taking the words of a man who just misread her, but he was the God-ordained man, the priest of God. She was operating by faith.
And they rose up in the morning, this is verse 19, early, and they worshiped before the Lord. It doesn't say they're singing, by the way. Singing is actually praise. It isn't necessarily worship. Worship is bowing low in service. You worship when you bow low in service. Being a mother is a form of worship, by the way. Motherhood is a form of worship. But the problem is it's devalued today. The problem is culture saying, why would you want to do that? Go out and do this. Go out and win the world. Go out and make the dollar. Go out and be somebody. And meanwhile, God's word says, no, these are the riches of God. The riches of God are these, those made in my image. The arrows. The ones that will carry the baton for the next generation that's dying. Those are the rich in my sight. Riches make wings like eagles and fly away, the word of God says. But children, like olive shoots around a table. That's what's precious in the sight of God.
They worshipped and returned and came to their house to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. That means they had relations.
And the Lord remembered her. The Lord remembered her. He heard those cries. No words. He heard the cry of her heart. He knew the situation. He saw her heart.
Verse 20, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel. Why? Saying, because I have asked him of the Lord.
Names, very important in the Old Testament and New, specifically in the Old.
And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow.
Notice Elkanah doesn't stop doing what he's always done. Worshipping the Lord yearly, faithfully. But Hannah went not up.
For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever.
Now that's quite a statement. That's quite a response. Think about this for a moment. The one thing she desired the most, she's now been granted. After years of despair and heartache. And she made a vow already. You give me this man child, I'll give him back, Lord. And Elkanah says, honey, it's time to go up to the temple. She says, no, I'm going to stay. Why? She knew how precious those days were. She knew how precious and how fast those years would go by. The best thing I ever heard in parenting to be true was this. It was many years ago, I'll never forget it. A woman said to me, she said, the days are long, but the years are short. I found that to be true. And your children start to grow. And moms in particular, you have difficulty to get them off, to wean them. It's really hard for you, is it not? To wean that baby, especially one that in which the Lord remembered. And he gave that child to you. And you may have even silently made a vow that you would give him back to the Lord. You would give her back to the Lord, whatever it is. But perception is not reality. It's really tough when it starts to happen. And when children are really small, you have a really tight grip on them. I mean, you got to do everything for them. You got to change diapers. You got to feed them. You got to get up in the middle of the night. You have to rock. You have to do everything. You're a little bit older. A little bit older. 10, 11. They don't need everything done for them. Teen years. I should probably get on my knees for this one. But teen years. Now, driver's license. Wow. Activities, maybe. You don't like them going to, or you're not there.
adulthood. Father, in Jesus' name, you gave them to me, I give them back to you. That's what it is, my friend. That's what it is. They don't belong to you.
See, Hannah is going to keep a vow that is really impossible apart from God. It's impossible apart from God to do this. This is not natural. This is impossible apart from God for her to do something, to keep this vow.
But you know who she worships by what she gives up. Lest the grain and wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. This is a godly woman. Listen to what Elkanah says. The guys start to get it after a while. Give them some time. Give the guys some time. Be patient. The best thing you could do for your husband, listen, I'm going to make this public service announcement right now. The best thing you can do for your husband is not nag them, speak to them, lecture them, give a dissertation. Listen, pray for them. Pray for them. God can change them. You cannot. And so listen. Elkanah, her husband, says unto her, do what seems good. Stay back, hon. Take care of our precious Samuel. Tarry, wait until you have weaned him. Now, when would that be? In these days, it could be up to 8 or 9 years old. Which in our culture in this day, that would seem a bit strange, but you have to understand the times. It's not like they had Wegmans. Do what seems good, tarry until you have weaned him. Only the Lord, listen to this now, this is what a man of God will do. Only the Lord establishes word. Remember that vow. Enjoy, stay back, enjoy everybody. Just remember what you vow to the Lord. Reminding her. You made a vow. Best you pay it. Best you pay it.
So the woman abode, she stayed, and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks. Some thinks that's a bullock, 3 years old. And 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine.
Isn't that interesting? She brings a bottle of wine to Eli, who thought she was drunk. I just thought that was interesting. I know it's a cultural thing.
And brought him into the house of Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. Verse 26, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. Verse 28, therefore also I have lent or given him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be given or lent to the Lord.
And he worshiped the Lord there. How? How? It's not possible. But God, only if your allegiance, only if your devotion, only if your Lord, only if your master is God can you do that.
And so listen to what Hannah prays. I'm just going to read through this prayer, but I want you to notice a word. See if you can pick it out. I'll say it afterwards. It says, and Hannah prayed, chapter 2, and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. Verse 5. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne 7, and she hath many children, is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. Verse 7, the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raised up the poor out of the dust, and he lift up the beggar from the dunghill, and to set them among princes, to make them to inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of the saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces out of the heaven, shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth,
and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord
before Eli the priest. Did you catch it 10 times? Lord. Lord. 10 times. You see? You will find out when the one who gives you everything takes everything away. You'll find out who your Lord is, who your master is. Just like Job, when he lost all his children, lost everything. Oh, and by the way, ladies, guess who came to him in his lowest moment with not a word of encouragement? When he's sitting there with boils from head to toe, lost all of his kids, lost all of his cattle. Here comes, not Hannah, but Job's wife, who I think is unnamed for a reason. Are you still alive? You still have your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? A picture of Satan provoking. But you see, the man of God responds like the woman of God and says, you speak like one of the foolish women. Ought we not to take the bad with the good? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. See the key word there? Lord. That's the difference. That's the difference between a man of God and a woman of God. Not that they won't mess up. Not that they won't make mistakes. But they will worship the Lord. Their supremacy, their allegiance, their devotion, their heart is toward the Lord. So, just to skip down, because then it talks about the sons of Eli, but to skip down to verse 18 of chapter 2, it says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. This is a priestly garment. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. So here you go. She gave him up, and she gets to see him once a year, just one time a year. And of course, she made a little cute outfit for him, right? And she's probably, who knows how excited to go up and give him this child that was given to her by God that she gave back. And now he's serving the Lord. Verse 20, and Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent or given to the Lord. They went into their own home, and the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Isn't that amazing? See, just like Job, he doubled the amount of children he had. His end was greater than the beginning. You can't outgive God. Hannah gave up everything. The thing she desired the most is what she gave up. She laid it down. And the goodness of God demonstrated in the Old Testament, by the way, he is the same God in the Old Testament and the New, he gives another 5 children to her. Why? She worships. She worships. They worship the Lord. She bows low, just like Mary. When Mary found out that she would be the one to carry the Messiah, she says, thy handmaiden of the Lord, servant of the Lord. She worshiped, bow low in service. You know, it's interesting, you look at, you think this is just a woman, an account of a godly woman. Well, there's an account of a godly man in the book of Judges not too much earlier, named Jephthah, who was a judge. And Jephthah, who was a judge of Israel, says, makes a vow. Says, hey, give me the victory. You give me the victory over the Ammonites. Whatever my eyes see, when I come home, out of my doors, I'll give it. So, the Lord delivers Ammon into his hands. Jephthah gets home. And who comes out? Dancing? Timbrels? You guessed it. His one and only daughter. His one and only daughter. What does he say? I have opened my mouth to the Lord and I cannot go back. Man of God. His only daughter, no sons, no other daughters, a virgin, kept his word.
You make a vow unto the Lord, you take it seriously. Because He is the most important. He is the Creator. He is the one that gave you the son or gave you the daughter. That's the reality of it. Not easy. Not an easy challenge. But true nevertheless. And I have a great admiration for women in general, but certainly for mothers and those that have the scars to prove it. You realize without mothers, we wouldn't be here today, right? We were on Monroe Avenue last night, our first outreach on the second Saturday, and I took the mic and did a short preach. And it just so happened I was talking about being born again, and I said, all of us were born of a woman. It's amazing I have to say that today. But I have to say that today. Everyone is here because of a woman. Childbearing, and I want you to know that you're special in the sight of God according to God's word. See, what you don't understand sometimes is this, and I've had this conversation with my wife. I'm the shepherd. She's the hen. I was playing, believe it or not, I played a round of golf this last week. I know some of you might be shocked. I don't play that much, but I happen to play. But here's the amazing thing. We're going up to this one of the holes. I forgot what number. And I hear this beep, 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 beep. And I look down, and it's this little bird. Now, there's four guys there, roughly my size. We all have drivers in our hand. We could have taken a driver and went, smash the bird to death. The bird had eggs underneath it. The bird wasn't moving. Mama was not going anywhere. Doesn't matter how big the guy is. Doesn't matter if he's got a driver in his hand. Why? God designed even his lesser creation to be that way. To take your little chicks and protect them and coddle them. But see, that's where Dad comes in. And Dad says, remember. Remember what you said to the Lord. Let him establish his word. You see, that's how marriage works. The heart of a godly mother's supremacy, as hard as it is, will be to Jesus Christ, her Lord. And God is good. And God gives back many times over, many times. And even if he doesn't, you still worship him, regardless. So be thankful on Mother's Day that we're different. Pretty soon, God willing, it'll be Father's Day. We were talking about this in the elder meeting. It's like, fathers were guilty, self-indicted, so to speak, of we don't often demand. It's like Father's Day, so here you go, here's your tie, Dad. Happy Father's Day. You know, Mother's Day, it's like a big ensemble and, you know, the red carpet, and mothers are coming down in long gown. You know what I mean. And the dads, they're guilty. It's like, yeah, thanks. Yeah, whatever, you don't have to say. No, no, no. Honor your father and your mother. So your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth you. Honor your mother, your father, both of them. We're to honor them. And today, along with always honoring our Lord, we honor our mothers. And we thank you for them. Thank the Lord. And I want to encourage you. You know what today the big controversy is? The big controversy today is this. Should you go to college? Should you go into the trades? I'm going to give a promo today. Become a mother. Become a mother. If God opens your womb, if he allows you to, become a mother. Go into the trade of motherhood. It's a noble task. It's a high calling. Don't let culture fool you, lie to you, and tell you that it's not. Being a mother is a high calling of God Almighty, and in it you learn to worship the Lord through service unto him. Amen? That wasn't a planned service announcement at the end. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to glorify your name together. It is a high calling to be a mother. We just read about Hannah, what pain and suffering she went through in her day. And you proved yourself as she worshiped you, as she kept her vow. She gave back what you gave to her, and you multiplied unto her 5 more children. We have lost our focus in this country. We have lost our focus in this nation about what is important to our Lord. It's not dollars and cents. It's not career or trade. It's not promotion or position. It's mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, children made in your image to glorify and honor you. Help us to remember today. In Jesus' name. And all of God's family said amen. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day.